Ephesians chapter number 5. I know we had a few more people come in. Did anybody not get an outline for the message today that would like one? If you slip your hand up, anybody need one? I think we're good to go. All right. Ephesians chapter number 5 this morning is where we are. We've been here the past couple of weeks in this passage. And in chapter 4 today, we're here in chapter number 5. And we're going to look at one thought. The message, I tell you always, I don't plan to preach very long. It just happens when it does. And so we'll see how it goes this morning, but we're grateful to have you. And if you're visiting today, if this is your first time in our service, right there in your chair in front of you, there's a little card there. It's a connection card. If you would fill that out, that would be awesome. So we get a record of your visit. And then you could turn that into me after the service or turn that in somewhere. We have a gift for you. And if you want the gift, you can turn that in. You say, what's the gift? I think it's an In-N-Out gift card right now. But they raised the prices with this $20 wage thing, so I don't know if you can get a double-double with that gift card anymore. You might be able to get a single cheeseburger, maybe. We'll see. But a cheeseburger, anything from In-N-Out is good. How many of you like In-N-Out? Anybody like In-N-Out in here? I'll ask, who doesn't like In-N-Out? Sinner. No, I'm just kidding. But Ephesians chapter number 5. When we look at this passage this morning, we'll get here in just a minute, so hold your place there, and we'll get there in a couple of minutes. But it does us well in the Christian life to take time to think about how much God truly loves us. As I mentioned, Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus was that they would understand the depth, the height, the length of God's love. One of the songs, it's not in this songbook, but another songbook, The Love of God, the third verse basically says, could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies a parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, it would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Their songs are a songbook. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? His love is amazing, wonderful, so great. And it does us well to remember the fact that God loves you today. There are times you go through life and, you know, you ever get that feeling, does anybody really love me? God truly loves you. He loved you enough that while you were his enemy, he sent his son to shed his precious blood to offer you life. No one's ever loved us the way that Jesus has loved us. That kid's song, we all know it. If you know it, you can sing along with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You know, the Bible even says that the only reason we love him is because he first loved us. No one's ever loved you like Jesus does. And you know, we look in our world today. You know what everybody wants in our world today? They want to be loved and accepted. Wherever they stand, that's what they want. They want to be loved and accepted. And Jesus offers everything that any person would ever want in this world. That's how awesome he is. God is love. If you try to define love, I think you could just say God, and you could define love. That's what it is. Now, this world has its love, right? One day I love you, and the next day I hate you. That's not really love. In fact, the love that God loves us with is that, in the Greek, it's the agape love. It's an unconditional love. His love for us isn't based on what we do for him. His love is unconditional. That's how much he loves us today. This world doesn't understand that. One minute you love somebody, and one minute you don't. We don't get how God loves. We look at Ephesians 5. We're going to read the first two verses. We're also going to go back into chapter 4 for a couple minutes. And it's only two verses, Dave. It won't be too long, I think. Look at verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You'll notice right away it says, be therefore followers of God. That word follower there means to mimic or imitate. As the children of God, we are to mimic or imitate our Heavenly Father. Over the next three Sundays as we finish up this series, we're going to look at three things that our Father does that should be imitated in our lives. Let's have a word of prayer together, and we'll dive in this morning. Father, we're grateful for today and grateful for the blessings you've given to us and grateful for your love. We could never spend enough time thinking or singing about your love. As we sang a little bit ago, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the difference that it's made in our lives. Lord, how we need you, how we love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you were to take this verse and break it down just a little bit more, so you could say, be imitators of God as his beloved children. I think how many of you have kids? They might be grown or whatever, but you have kids and things. Or how many of you were ever a kid? Okay, good. I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. So at one time, you were a kid, or you've had kids, or you've had both, whatever the case may be. I remember growing up, my dad worked on smog machines. So if you ever go get your car smogged, that machine that they hook your car up to and that spinny thing they put your car up on, my dad fixed those things. So I understand how those things work. Well, when my dad first was working on that job and things, we didn't have cell phones then yet. And I'm 38. I'm not that old, okay? But there weren't cell phones yet at that time, so my dad had a pager. How many of you remember pagers? Yeah, and the way those pagers worked, someone would page you and a phone number would come up. Now, they got fancy to where you could send a little message. But I remember, you know, just the other day, we went to a youth conference. So this is a side note, but Michael Fischetti, he had a flip phone. His parents let him have a flip phone to take it to the youth conference. And my first cell phone, when I went to college, I got a cell phone, and it was a flip phone. And so I sent her a message from his phone, and I'm like, thank God for the pad, the actual keypad on phones now. You can type so much faster. It's so much better. But so my dad had a pager. And so, you know, someone would page him. And then back in those days, you didn't have so anybody remember using a payphone? I'm not talking about when you go to jail. I'm talking about a payphone. You know, okay. All right, we're on the same page there. So he would use a payphone, or at home, he would use the phone. So I'm a young kid. We went to the store. I think we went to Thrifty back in the day. At Thrifty, my parents said, you can get a candy. That was always my day when they said you get a candy. And so the thing is, they always said, don't ever ask, because if you ask, you're not going to get it. So I just prayed to the Lord, and sometimes the Lord worked on their hearts, and we got it. But I remember they had this little bubble beeper. So it literally just had bubble gum in it, and it was this plastic little pager thing. Anybody remember those at all? And do you know why I got it? Because I could be like my dad. And so I literally would go around the house having on that little beeper. The bubble gum was long gone. And I should have brought a picture, because I have a picture of it still in one of the photo albums. And literally, I go up to the phone, and I have the phone in my hand looking at my beeper. And there's a picture somewhere of my dad doing the same exact same thing. I imitated him. And you probably did that with your parents back in the day. I remember my brother was out mowing the lawn. My parents did it an odd way. My oldest brother's 21 years older than I am, and the brother right above me is 15 years older. So they were quite a bit older, and so he was mowing the lawn, and I wanted to follow his lead. So I had one of those bubble lawnmowers. You remember those? And so he's just mowing away, and I'm following him. And all of a sudden, he started screaming and yelling. And what did I do? I was copying him. I started screaming and yelling. I didn't realize he ran over a wasp nest. Yeah. And then I really started screaming and yelling when they got me too. So I realized what happened there. But I could tell you stories of the good things I imitated of my dad and my mom. But I could probably give you some bad things. But I'm not going to talk bad about my parents here. So I'll use my kids as an example. How many of you, your kids pick up on the good things you do and the bad things you do? Yeah, some of you, yeah. I'm driving down the road and this person cuts me off. What an idiot. And the redhead in the back seat. Dad, he is an idiot. And I'm like, not the lesson I wanted to teach, right? That shouldn't have came out of my mouth. But they pick up on it. And they pick up on other things. William yesterday at his basketball game, he got elbowed in the eye. And he couldn't see very well. And, you know, he comes home. And I'm like, how are you doing? I'm okay. I'm okay says nothing. What does that mean? Because I was still blurry. I had to get out of him. I went up to Carolina. I'm sorry. Because all the time you ask me how I'm doing, I say fine. You never get an answer out of me of how I'm truly doing. And I saw it in William. Alyssa is very sarcastic. Her mom is not sarcastic. Caroline is just sweet and kind, and there's no sarcasm found in her. Alyssa's dad is very sarcastic. And I don't know where I get it from. I come from it honestly, but I'm very sarcastic. And I learned it when you marry someone who can't handle sarcasm, you gotta learn very quickly you cannot do it at home. But it takes a little bit of time to learn that, so I have to throw it out on everyone else. That's the way it works. And so, but my daughter, you know, you should see my daughter and wife sometimes their conversations. And then I hear Alyssa being sarcastic, and I'm like, you can't do that to mom. Don't do that to mom. But that was kind of funny what you just said. But you pick up, your kids pick up on the good sometimes, but they also pick up on the bad. There'll be times, I remember William when he's a little bit younger. William, you're in here. Sorry you get used as the example. But he would get this look on his face like he's going to do something. I'm like, don't do it. You don't even know I'm going to do anything. I know that look because I had that same look. Mm-hmm. David has to be right on everything. I know he got that from his mom because she's always has to be right on everything. Yeah. See, she's even trying to say it's me. You see? Even right there, she proved the point right there. But at the end of the day, our children will mimic us. So it makes sense that Paul, to Christians here, says, when we get saved, we're brought into a new family, right? We're adopted into a new family. When you get saved, you become a child of God. Now, I know this world says we're always a child of God. That's not true. The Bible says that in all honesty, we're children of wrath and children of the devil. That's how we enter into this world. You think about it. I talk about rearing kids and things. I've never had to set my kids down and say, I'm going to teach you how to lie today. I've never had to do that. I'm going to tell you how to disobey me today. They know how to do that. What do I have to teach them? This is how you obey. This is how you share. You have to teach them good things because we enter into this life with a sin nature. When we get saved, we're adopted into the family of God. And you have a new heavenly Father. And he loves you and he cares about you. And think about this. God loved you before you even became his child. He loved you enough that he sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now the thing is, God loves this world and everyone in it. But if you don't receive his love does nothing for you. You must receive his love, and his love changed my life and changes your life. As I said a minute ago, if you were to define love, I would say God is the definition of love. I'm a math guy. Any of you like math? How many of you don't like math? Yeah, I see you. The word is in math means equals. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:8, and it's not there in your notes or up on the screen, but it says God is love. So if we're going to imitate him, then we should walk in love because God is love. Does that make sense? And then since God is light, we should walk not in darkness, but in the light, which we'll look at next week in verse 3 through verse number 14. And then God is also truth and wisdom, and we need to walk in wisdom, verses 15 to 17. So this is what it comes down to. Just as a child will imitate mom and dad for the good or the bad, when you have a heavenly father, you should imitate him. And with our heavenly father, there is no bad. It's all good. So this is the message. Just be like Jesus. Be a Christian. As you walk through this world, and listen, I know our world isn't our world a crazy place? And the ideologies, our world's a crazy place. You are called to walk like Jesus. Walk in love. You know, there are many Christians today that stand up for things. We need to stand up. There are many Christians who don't stand up. The problem is, are we standing up and walk it, and what does the Bible say? Speak the truth in love. Love better be a part of that message. But you need to speak the truth too. We need it. Now the question this morning comes, why should I walk in love? Because that's what your Heavenly Father does. He's loved you like no one could ever love you. Think about this morning. You're like, well, Pastor, there's a person that really just irritates me. It's hard for me to love them. Do you know God knows every detail about every one of us sitting in this room today, and he loves you? Those people that were crying out, he's not our king, crucify him. He loved them. He came unto his own received him not. He loved them. The ones who had no room in the inn, he loved them. Hey, those Pharisees, he loved them enough to give them the truth. Do you know what the first fruit of the Spirit is? Love. When you get saved, the Spirit of God moves inside of you. And the fruit of the Spirit should be displayed in the life of a Christian. The very first one is that of love. So this morning, for the next couple minutes, I'm going to preach on imitating our Father. And we imitate him, first of all, by walking in love. So number one today, walk in love. We see it right here in our verses. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, a lot of times we have this habit of, how many of you like to read books? All right. A lot of times you read a book, new chapter. It might continue on with some of the things, but it's kind of a new thought going forward. So sometimes we do the same thing with the Bible. We look, okay, it's chapter 5, chapter 4, it's different. Do you realize when the Bible is written, there were no chapters? There were no verse marks. I'm very thankful that someone put those in there, because I love telling you to go to Ephesians 5:1. If I were to say, find the verse that says, be therefore followers, you think my message is long now, it'd be really long later if you had to find that verse. So I'm grateful for the chapters and verses that are put in. But sometimes we end a chapter and we think, okay, new thought. No, these verses go line upon line, precept upon precept. They continue forward. So in all reality, if you say, well, Pastor, how can I walk in love? I think the greatest definition of walking in love is found in verse 31 and 32 of the previous chapter. You got to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You want to walk in love? Here it is, verse 32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You want a definition of walking in love? Verse 32 of chapter 4 is the definition. Be kind. Be tenderhearted. Forgive one another. You know, there are many people who say, I love God. Let me ask you a question. If you love God, do you love your neighbor? Do you love your brother? Do you love your sister? This last week, I was talking to two of my own children. And for some reason, they weren't getting along very well last week. And I don't know why. I don't know what it was, but there was something they weren't getting along. And as a dad, you know what I want for my children? I want them to get along and love each other. I don't like them fighting. So what we did was we sat down. And when we sat down together, I had one in a chair facing this way, and one in a chair. They're right next to each other. And I'm like, this needs to stop. So I want you to say five nice things about whoever it was and go back and forth. And you know the stuff that came out. They finished their plate of food. That's not a nice thing. You can give me a better thing than that. And then one of them, I can't think of nothing. That was the response. And I'm like, there's got to be something. So the other one, the other chair's like, well, I do this. No, you don't. And then they were going, it just continued. And I'm like, oh, I love my children to get along. I like when I hear them outside playing. I like to hear them getting along. I want my kids to get. Now, think about this. If I'm who I am, a sinner, by far from perfect dad, if I just want my kids to get along, how do you think your heavenly Father is? He doesn't like to hear his children argue and fight. He likes his children to get along. And if we're going to get along, we must walk in love, because that's what the Lord is. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, there was a great separation between God and man. We sing about how great the chasm that lay between us. There was a huge gap between us and God, and we could not get to God on our own. Jesus Christ and his love for us, and God through sending him, made a bridge so that we could have peace with God. That's why God doesn't want you warring and fighting with every other Christian under the sun. He wants you to make bridges of peace and to get along with his people. Walk in love. Be kind. Just be kind. When's the last time you showed a little kindness? Say, but they don't just, isn't that what God does to us? How many of you, is there anybody this morning who would say, hey, Pastor, I deserve God to love me? Would you stand up, anybody, today? Because if you're here and you deserve God's love, I'm going to sit down and let you preach. Because I would want to hear how you can do that. None of us deserve his love. Do you deserve God to be kind to you? Do you deserve his goodness? Do you deserve his grace? Do you deserve his, we don't deserve any of it. But we're like, so-and-so doesn't deserve it, so I'm not going to give it to them. But that's exactly what God has done for us and why we are to imitate him and to walk in love. As we look at this morning and as we dive through it, you see the fact is I've witnessed it over and over again as a pastor and being alive these 38 years. I've seen the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, the evil speaking. I've seen those tear families apart. I've seen it tear churches apart. I've seen it tear lives apart. I've seen marriages torn apart because of the bitterness, because of the wrath and the anger and all those things. But I've also seen when the kindness of God steps in and where they're kind and tenderhearted and they forgive and you see the love of Christ. You got to understand something. If your marriage is going to last this morning, it's going to last by walking in love. And you better know the one who is love. Because kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiving one another are three keys to a good marriage. Just be kind. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving. See, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I remember being at the side of someone, a man is on his deathbed dying, and his family is all there. And these were his words as I'm standing there. It's good to see you all here and that you finally can get along. It's amazing what it took to happen for you all to get along. What do you say in those moments? But life is full of that. Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8, it says, above all things, have fervent charity. That word charity means love. Have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Something I learned as a young pastor, an older pastor said, Brian, you're not going to be a perfect pastor. You can strive, you're gonna mess up, you're going to hurt people's feelings, you're not going to do everything right, but you can love people. And when you love people, they'll put up with your mistakes. And there's great truth to that. Because charity covers a multitude of sins. And that's not saying that people get away with wrong. But what that's saying is when certain things happen, and you're like, well, my pastor just wasn't nice to me. You remember the fact, oh, he loves me, though. And that will cover some of those things. Love, walk in love. Jesus said these words before he died on the cross, John 15, verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue in it. Three verses later, in verse 12 of the same chapter, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I've loved you. This is what I want you to do. I want you to listen to me. I want you to obey, and I want you to love one another. This is my commandment. 1 John 3, verse 16 to 18 says, hereby perceive we the love of God. How do you know? You know, a lot of people say, I love you, I love you, I love you. I remember I got in trouble one time growing up, and I don't even remember what I did. You say, did you get in trouble often? Often enough not to remember what I did every time. Yeah, I got in trouble. If you didn't get in trouble much growing up, you just didn't get caught. So don't try and say you were just that perfect child. You just didn't get caught as much. But I remember I was going to get punishment and things. And I just said, Mom, I love you. And I gave her a hug. And I thought maybe that would cover it, you know, take care of it. You know, Jesus paid it all. I don't need a spanking. Jesus paid it all. He took my punishment on the cross. You don't need to punish me. And so do you ever say that? Yep. And so then they show me the verses where, yeah, anyways, I saw the verses too. But her response was, your love, talk is cheap. Love is shown in action. What you do shows your love. Like, someone can say all day long, I love you, I love you, I love you. God could say in his word, I love you, and do nothing, and it's like, does he really love us? No. He loved us enough, and hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And when you can help someone, and God's given you the capability to help someone, and you shut that off and you don't help them, how does God's love flow through us? The Good Samaritan, remember that story, the parable there? I remember how two men just passed right on by. The religious guy, the Levite, he passes right on by. And then the Good Samaritan stops and helps the man out. I think you could see the love of Jesus flowing through that man. He might not have even known Jesus, but it flowed through him. And this morning, we need to walk in love. With that in mind, I want to give you three reasons this morning why a Christian ought to walk in love. First of all, number one, we are God's child. So just like I'm the son of William and Sharon Pattison, or, you know, William, David, Alyssa, and Matthew are the children of Brian and Caroline Pattison, they're going to do certain things that resemble us in certain ways. When you are a child of God, you should act like a child of God, right? And so we think about, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1, verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you notice right there that when we get saved, when we're born again, we are partakers of the divine nature. Do you see that right there in that verse? Since God is love. Is God love? Yes, he is. So since God is love, it's only logical that God's children will walk in love. Right? Because you've been given these things. When Paul encourages his readers to walk in love, he wasn't asking them to do something a Christian cannot do. Because think about our old nature. Our old nature is selfish, right? How many of you are ever selfish? We all are. We think of ourselves. We put ourselves first. That's the old man, the old nature that lives inside of us. We talked about last week to put off the old man to walk in the newness of life. But as we think on these thoughts, you got to understand that new nature is loving and moves forward with the things of God. And because you're the child of God today, walk in that love. Walk like your Heavenly Father does. Let her be. Why should we walk in love? Because we're God's beloved child. Now, that's interesting to me. And sometimes I think we hear sermons or we read the Bible, we don't really look at the words and study the words out and see what they actually mean. And actually, my series tonight is going to be a lot about that stuff too. But right at the end of verse number one, be therefore followers of God. Look at the end phrase, as dear children. That word dear means beloved. God loves you. Think about this. God has no favorite children. Sometimes people do in this life, right? And I just as an example, I go back to Jacob. Who was Jacob's favorite son? Joseph. He was given the coat of many colors. His brothers despised him because he was dad's favorite. But you can look back in his life and in Jacob and Esau's life, Esau was Isaac's favorite, and then his mom's favorite was Jacob. So you see that build from there. And we as humans, we might have this or like this better or that or like this person or that person. It doesn't work that way with God. Do you realize today that God loves you as much as he loves his own son? Ever stop to think about that? What did God say about Jesus in Matthew 3 at his baptism? Matthew 3:17, lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well, listen to what Jesus said in his prayer of intercession in John 17 for us in verse 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Now look at what it says. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Just as God looked at Jesus in that baptism and said, this is my beloved son. We are to walk as his beloved children because God loves you the same as he loves his own son. That's powerful when you take the time to think about that. We're born into that relationship with the Lord. What more could the Lord do to express his love? He died for us. Christian, walk in that love. We are God's child. We're his beloved child. And let her see, and lastly this morning, we are purchased with a great price. Those notes there should say, we were purchased with a great price, not he was purchased with a great price. So, see, even little typos there. We were purchased with a great price. One of my favorite verses talking about the love of God comes from John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Now, isn't that an awesome verse? And where does your mind go when you think of this verse? It goes to Jesus. But do you know, think about this a little bit more. Let's go a little deeper right here for a minute. I know it's Sunday morning and you want to relax your minds, but let's go a little deeper for a minute. So, greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. How many of you would be willing to die in the place of a friend? Say, well, it depends on the friend. Isn't that what your answer would be? It depends on the friend. You know, think about for myself. And the thing is, people can say any response they want, but until that moment comes, you don't honestly know what you're going to do. I would hope and tend to believe I would take a bullet and die for my wife and my kids. I believe I would. It hasn't happened, so I hope I would if that time came. And whatever. Some of you in this room, you say, would you die for me? Maybe. I don't know. You say, well, how about, let's go a little bit further. So the Bible says here, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. So that basically says that's the highest degree of love, right? Can you think of a higher degree of love than that? There has to be one. Because if the greatest love is a man would lay down his life for his friends, then that's one thing. But would you say it'd take even greater love to lay down your life for your enemy? Isn't that what Jesus did? Romans 5, verse 10 tells us, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see, think about this. He laid down his life while we were his enemy, not his friend. And you could look at the two verses before that, in verse 8 of Romans 5, it said, but God commended, or God displayed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners. Not when we turned over a new leaf, not when we started doing good, while we were his enemy, he died for us. You see, there is no greater love in all the world than what Jesus Christ did for us and the fact that he died for his enemies. He loved us that much. Our love to him and others is a response to his love for us. Our love for him and others is a response to his love for us. In fact, the Bible says we only love him. Why? Because he first loved us. You'll notice there as we close out verse number 2, it says, as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And you could look in the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus, how many of you in the room love the book of Leviticus and you love reading it? It's your favorite book in the world to read in the Bible. Don't lie right now. Anybody say it's you love reading it? I will tell you this. The longer I'm a Christian, the more I appreciate it. Because you can see in the offerings, you can see Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And literally at the end of Exodus, Moses couldn't go in. The glory of God filled the tabernacle and Moses couldn't go in. Leviticus set up the sacrifices that could be made so that in the book of Numbers, he could go in. And so the book of Leviticus is a lot like Jesus. But you'll notice that there were sacrifices that were made in the book of Leviticus. And I put some verses there in your notes and you can look at those later. But there were burnt offerings and meal offerings and all these things that represent, and a peace offering that represent Jesus Christ. And when those offerings were made to God, the Bible says it was like a sweet-smelling savor to God. He loved it. When Christ, and this is, it's not saying that when Christ died on the cross, God was thrilled that Jesus died or that sin demanded death. No, sin was finally paid for, and the aroma of that pleased God. Leviticus 4 and 5 talk about sin offerings. You'll notice sin offerings are never a sweet-smelling savor to God. It was always the offerings that brought peace that were the sweet-smelling savor to God. And you could study that out for yourself in Leviticus next time you read it there. We are to walk in love. You say, why should we walk in love? Because it's a fundamental part of being a Christian. What separates Christianity from every other religion out there? Two things. Number one, Jesus. Show me another religion that has a deity die for them and offer his life and all that he's going to give to us. There's no other deity out there like Jesus. Every other deity out there wants you to sacrifice everything for them. Jesus sacrificed all for us and doesn't demand us to do anything. But out of love for him, we do what we do. Jesus is the number one thing that makes Christianity different than any other religion out there. And secondly is love. Love. Say, well, how am I in the world that we live today, how am I to, if I speak the truth in love, I'm going to be ran over and I'm not going to be hurt or anything else. Quit trying to do it the way the world does it. You don't overcome evil by stooping down to their level. You overcome evil with good. Say, how do you do that? Well, how did Jesus live? How did Paul live in a wicked Roman Empire? How did Peter preach when the Jews were out to get him? How did Stephen preach? Did he preach the truth? Yep, and he did it in love. And the people killed Stephen, they were convicted by, and what turned Paul to Christ? He was convicted by the way that Stephen lived. I don't even know if it was the words that came out of Stephen's mouth, it was his life. Christian, walk in love. Your heavenly Father loves you. He's done everything for you. The Bible tells us in Romans 13, verse number 8, owe to no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. It's Bible right there. And then the Bible also tells us in Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Say, Pastor, I just don't know how to love. God's given you his Spirit to teach you and to help you love. You can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's found in the Bible. In your own power, you cannot. But in Christ's power, you can. And Christian, today, Quit letting the outside world influence you and quit acting like them. Start acting like Jesus.